have to talk to Jeremy Glick, who's written a book. His father, Port Authority worker, died in the World Trade Center collapses, the U.S. government attack. And Bill O'Reilly yelled and screamed at him and told him to shut up and attack his father's memory in his name. There's nothing worse. And he then threatened to physically attack him and threatened to kill him and to rip his head off and began cussing like a demonic demon. And this is all in front of witnesses being reported by the mainstream news now. We have the clip of O'Reilly freaking out on air on InfoWars.com. And all because Mr. Glick, we've aired it here. I mean, this was some tame stuff, folks. He said in the 80s our government trained him. Try 2001, Pensacola Naval Air Station, MSNBC, Fox News reported. Try Defense Language School, Monterey, training the Al-Qaeda leaders, CIA operatives. We've had Stanley Hilton, Bob Dole, former chief of staff, on about that. Try Bush, L.A. Times, 2 months before 9-1-1 reporting that $135 million was sent to the Taliban. Try the New Yorker magazine, MSNBC, BBC, and dozens of other publications reporting that the CIA flew out 6,000 Taliban and Al-Qaeda leaders to Pakistan as Kandahar fell because they were CIA operatives to set up the implosion of the country as a pretext for the globalists to move against that oil supply. You just hire bad guys to go do bad stuff in your country and the globalists attack your country. I mean, the government ran these attacks. They didn't just train the terrorists. And O'Reilly just said it was all lies. Well, O'Reilly's not stupid. His own network reported our government trained the terrorist. Joining us is Jeremy Glick, and the information terrorist is Bill O'Reilly. He is a creep, folks. I can't stand him calling himself anti-establishment when the guy is the epitome of an establishment simpering lapdog, un-American evil demon. Yes, I'm using all those words. It's true. I don't like bullies. I wish he'd come on this show. I'd tear him up. Welcome, Jeremy Glick.
Thank you, Alistair. I appreciate giving the opportunity to, you know, share some time with you guys.
Well, it's good to have you on with us. I know you're on the road and doing a lot of different talk shows. Tell us about your father, about yourself, about the book you've written, and what happened with the demon, Mr. O'Reilly, who threatened to physically attack you.
I mean, I got together with a group of friends of mine and organizers and activists from the Active Element Foundation, and we put together a book where a bunch of us in our 20s co-edited called Another World is Possible, Conversations in a Time of Terror. And to our knowledge, it was the first progressive kind of pro-peace response to the 9/11 terror attacks.
And it is leftward-leaning, but that's your First Amendment prerogative.
Yeah, well, you know, it was coming from a kind of left progressive standpoint. I mean, basically for me, it was, you know, I suffered and my family suffered personally a devastating loss. My dad, who was a Port Authority worker, passed on that day. You know, for a month, it was up in the air what his whereabouts were. We didn't know. You know, we got calls saying he was okay, and then 5 minutes later he wasn't okay. And you can just imagine how crazy that was going on.
Plus, every time you hear about 911, it reminds you.
It's really frustrating. You know, as I said, like the never forget bumper stickers. I understand people are just trying to, you know, be sympathetic, but, you know, to kind of grandstand around 9/11, it's just really, it makes it kind of rough for the actual mourners. Because we don't need to be reminded not to forget. You know?
I've got to add that hundreds of families went around the Bush White House with signs saying Bush did it, Bush knew. And O'Reilly tried out of the gate to tell you that you're the only family person that doesn't agree with Bush. He actually said that. He's
a
liar.
This is the thing. Like, I'm very interested in you know, in your perspective and stuff of this nature, but I didn't actually even go that deep. The only thing I said was any person who watched Rambo 3 would have known. I said that, you know, the Al-Qaeda network was enabled 6 months even before the Soviet invasion.
Mr. Glick, we got a break. Stay right there. We'll be right back in 3 short minutes, okay? We'll be right back, my friends. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back. We're talking to Jeremy Glick. As the CIA says, we're about to get hit by terrorists any minute. Give up all your rights. We'll protect you. Get behind a war economy that only attacks sovereign nations for the globalists. Or Al-Qaeda will get you, when Al-Qaeda is a creation of the CIA. And Mr. Glick was there on the O'Reilly factor. His father died in the collapse. And O'Reilly started off by saying you're the only person, only victim that's, you know, written this book? And he goes, well, yeah, I wrote the book. I mean, of course, he's the only one who writes his book who's in it. When there's 400 families suing the president for being involved in the attack, hundreds of families walked around the White House and in New York with signs saying Bush did it, Bush knew. But that's all ignored. No, and O'Reilly knows. That's been all over his own network. He knows that this government founded al-Qaeda and Taliban, not just in the 80s, but right through into the 90s and into 2001. And he just basically screamed and yelled and told Jeremy to shut up and that he destroyed his father's memory and his mother ought to be ashamed of him and the death of his father, how dare him, people that killed your father, you're with the people that killed your father. Very abusive, total slander. I hope you, I mean, this isn't borderline. This is very serious. This guy, and then he physically threatened to attack you, to kill you, with a verbal threat to decapitate you. Which would get most people in jail. Maybe you should file a criminal complaint. Exactly. Go through this for us, sir. Tell us your story, and then going on the O'Reilly show, you know, the behind-the-scenes look, and then what happened.
Okay, well, basically, O'Reilly didn't he didn't contact me based on the book. He contacted me on the fact that I was I'm a signer of Not In Our Name, Statement of Conscience, which is an internationally circulated, signed by thousands of people statement that opposes the war in Iraq. And O'Reilly was very surprised to find out that there were actually people who were impacted by 9/11 who were against escalating the terror and aggression against Iraq. So that's how I got to the O'Reilly show.
Well, there have been a lot of people, a lot of family members have been on TV saying, stop using our memory for this war.
There's actually Peaceful Tomorrows is a organization that was assembled strictly of 9/11 family members that are calling for peace and calling for, you know, not using their name to promote, you know, further aggression. So I got on the show, and basically I thought I was going to have a political discussion, perhaps maybe get a little personal and explain to O'Reilly and his audience, you know, where I was coming from in terms of the loss of my father. As soon as I started talking about, you know, why I thought that it wasn't really opportune to back Bush in defending a kind of legacy that he inherited from his father in terms of al-Qaeda and punishing further the people of Iraq, which had nothing to do with it, and also supporting and punishing the people of Afghanistan who were suffering under the U.S.-backed Taliban, that I would want to, you know, back up a second and put it back to O'Reilly to say, well, why are you so surprised that I wouldn't support the son when the father was one of the players responsible for enabling the terrorist network that killed my father. So he kind of cut into me and went crazy and said he wasn't interested in debating politics. And I said, of course you are interested in debating politics because you evoke 9/11 to, you know, pursue your narrow agenda, everything from domestic issues to international issues. So he went crazy and basically said that, I believe the direct quote was, I've done more for 9/11 families in their own admission than you'll ever do. And then he started saying how I was a disgrace to my father and my mom must be ashamed. And we went back and forth. O'Reilly said the people of Afghanistan killed my father, and I debated him on that or attempted to because it wasn't the people out of Afghanistan. It was a small select a group of trained assassins that were enabled by, you know, members in the U.S. ruling class, amongst others, in the Pakistani ruling class. So we went back and forth. Basically, O'Reilly, you know, proceeded to bully me. He told me to shut up. He cut my mic, and this was all live. And he didn't. And afterwards, he physically threatened me, and he didn't say to decapitate me. I'm sure he might want to, but what he said.
Well, you told me on the phone yesterday in the press report that he would don't use the profane language, please.
No, I won't. I promise.
That he would lift your head off.
No. Actually, we said in the press release, and this is I just don't want to misrepresent the press release, and also I said, and let me just be clear. Is what he said was, quote, I'm going to tear you to effing pieces. So there was nothing about heads. That's what he said. He said,
Listen, I know this. I know people that have gone to jail were in front of people saying, I'm going to tear you in pieces. So
I know. I think that's that's not even, you know, there's no foggy territory there. That's straight up physical attack. His entire staff was very apologetic to me. They escorted me out of the office. And basically was like, you know, just get out of here because we don't want, you know, a further situation. And I assured them that I had came onto a show as a guest, an invited guest, to have an intellectual discussion, to have an informative debate. I knew it would be heated because I knew our Riley was like a bully in a thug.
Well, I have the clip here, and I mean, you are very calm, very nice, more than I could have done. As he said, but these people killed your father. Look at what you're doing to the memory of your father. Your father, your mother's ashamed. How did this affect your mother?
Well, my mom was outraged. You know, I mean, Alex, on one level, it's, you know, somebody is, you know, picking on unnecessarily her little boy, you know. And on another level, she just thought, just like all my family thought, that he has no right to tell me what my father would have wanted me to do or whether or not he would be proud of me. And to evoke somebody who's dead, who can't defend or speak for themselves.
Well, it's true that O'Reilly evokes the memory of those dead for this globalist war. I mean, but look, he says he has all the hard guests on, and you know, he'll talk to anybody. You can trust him.
Well,
all
you know
he
what?
Does, all he does is posture. There's no real substance. I mean, you know, I'll hear the guy say stuff that is, you know, just command and control, pro tyranny, and then he'll say a few good things. But it's never any substance, and just the way he screamed at you, the things he did to you, it was very, very, very revealing. So, I mean, how soon did he, I mean, describe in detail, you know, it goes to commercial, you're sitting there in the chair, what happens?
I told him that it was cowardly, very calmly. I told him that it was cowardly that he cut my mic, and that I thought that he didn't represent working people in this country. He represented a very rich minority, a very rich racist minority, actually. And I said that it was an insult to working people in this country because he pretends to represent the common man, the common woman, the everyday working John and Jane, where he actually, in his ideology and in his views and in his thuggish kind of behavior, he represents a very small, rich minority. And we were on the opposite sides of the table. I wasn't raising my voice. I was sitting down. I wasn't in his face. And he just, you know, slammed his fist on the desk and said, get out of my studio before I tear you to bleep in pieces. So at that point, you know, I wasn't trying to get into a fight, you know.
Did he say anything else after he said that?
No, no. He just said, get out, you know, get out. And as I said, Alex, I wasn't interested in getting into a fight. That's not what I was there to do. And I just want to say, in terms of what you were saying before about his debate, You know, O'Reilly, they're not there to debate. He's there to intimidate. He's there to bait his audience. And that's why when he said that stuff about my dad, the reason why I was calm is not because that wasn't hurtful or outrageous. It was because that's exactly what he wants to do.
Yeah, he was trying to get a rise out of you, cheaply using the memory of your dad and father and attacking him as viciously as he could, and it didn't work, so he blew up.
So basically, we learn a strategy lesson. We learn that in these kind of talk show settings, if you come at people with facts and also you keep your cool and you keep a moral high ground and not allow yourself to be baited or kind of, you know, as a lot of elementary school teachers say, stoop to their level, they're completely back off and crumble under the pressure, crumble so much that they have to silence you and then use extra legal threats.
Well, he said over and over again, shut up, shut up. He said, cut his mic. I mean, I've been on talk shows exposing the government running 911, and they'll say openly, give me some caller that disagrees with this kook, and every caller's agreeing, and they'll panic and just throw me off and then change the subject because I'll tune in by the Internet to see what's happening. And this shows, and I mean, I'll tell you, you say he doesn't represent working people. O'Reilly's very good at conning middle class and then working folks into thinking that he is representing them and looking like a middle-of-the-road populist-type person. And you know, the Democrats are there just to subvert and control, in my evidence, not just my opinion, the working-class population, while the Republicans are there to con the middle class into thinking they're part of the establishment to go along with this raping. And this is not free market, and it's more than just about money. The globalists aren't just rich. They control the institutions, and this is what we're fighting. And, man, I tell you, the stuff you brought up, and I've got the clips here. I'm tempted to air them again, Mr. Glick. I mean, you simply brought up the evidence. You simply brought up admitted things that his own network has reported.
Right.
You give the example of Rambo 3, you know, where the U.S. government works with the Taliban and they're good guys. I mean, that was part of our culture.
Right. And
then
that's
just
what
to deny it and say you're a liar, shut up, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I mean, he's got to know that most Americans have got to see through that. I know a lot of conservatives sent me emails and said, you know, I don't like O'Reilly anymore. I finally see through him like you do. So, and you know, I'll get mad at hosts sometimes if they're lying or manipulating or they're trying to punch buttons. I'll get mad at guests. But, you know, I won't sit there and tell them they're lying when they're telling the truth.
Right. And also, Alex, the next day on his email follow-up, he said I was wailing out of control like a maniac, spewing anti-American hatred for this country. And, I mean, Alex, I was born, you know, I'm from Chicago. I was raised in New Jersey. All I know is America. And to think that you have the right to, you know, tell a victim, you know, of, I mean, when my father died, and not even almost a little over 2 years ago, that you have a right to tell a victim.
Well, he said that you were with the people. He said you were with the people that killed your father.
But that's not what I said at all. That's outrageous. That's
no, all you said was, you were very clear. He said, oh, you're with the, and you explained, no. Bush has the connections to these people.
Right.
I'm against the system that created the people that killed my father.
Wasn't that crystal clear to me? I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone listening to him recap it.
Can you stay with us? I want to take some calls.
Yeah, sure.
All right, folks. You want to talk to Jeremy Glick, for those of you that saw it or those of you that heard me air the clip last week, 1-800-259-9231. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are
pro-freedom type people out there that want to reach out to the left, you're not going to do it with a Bill O'Reilly, a Sean Hannity. They're going to see the hypocrisy, they're going to see the elitism, they're going to see the lies, and they're going to run back to their liberal control system that is part of the same global New World Order. But I'm able to get on the air, and I've got the liberals, the academics, out buying semi-automatic rifles. I've got them out speaking out against the New World Order. I've got them realizing that big government is created to control the population by the elite corporations. We break the paradigm here, and we've got to stop organized criminal mouthpieces out there that are trying to sell us this tyranny. Coming up, Patriot Act 2 exposed, the new terror alerts, and much more. We got loaded phones for Jeremy Glick. We'll try to get as many in as we can, and I think he's got a lot of courage and was very well spoken. And really deserves our heartfelt thanks for standing up to that brutal assault and staying cool under it, something I probably couldn't do. Joni in Florida, thanks for holding here on the air with Jeremy Glick. What's left of him after the attack by the warthog O'Reilly? Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say to Jeremy, I am so glad that you, Alex, were able to get in touch with him and give him a chance to sit there and very expertly explain his views of what he wanted to get across that night with O'Reilly. I happened to be flipping channels and saw that, and it was such a disgrace. It was just unbelievable. And Jeremy, you speak very well. You sound like you're want to go with truth and document, and I hope and pray that you'll stay connected to Alex's website, and we, you know, the right and the left are being drawn together because the government is just pushing so hard into the globalism that even though maybe a few years ago we didn't agree on things, but I think if you just keep seeking the truth, you'll find that we have a lot in common. And God bless you and your family.
Well, wow, Joni, thanks for the call. Mr. Glick, any comments?
Well, I just wanted to thank you for the kind words.
All right, let's take another call. John in Texas. John, you're on the air worldwide with Jeremy Glick, our guest. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey.
I'd just like to tell you that it took a lot of courage to stand up to him, and I appreciate it because you spoke the truth, and people in this country need to learn to accept the truth instead of burying their head in the sand because everything you said is right on target.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And, John, you saw the psychology. It's to be patriotic. You've got to, you're either with us or against us, follow whatever tyranny we say, or you're not an American. How dare them try to say that we're not Americans because we love this country and don't want to be a bunch of bloodthirsty globalists. How dare them try to set up that psychology? Go ahead, John.
I was called a traitor at church because a guy came up to me and started talking about the war with Iraq. And I said, well, I happen to disagree with it. I think it's a sham. I think it's the Iraqi people have nothing to do with the terrorism.
And again, Saddam's former business partners with the Bushes, just like Noriega, Bin Laden, it's the same story.
Right, we gave him the weapons. The guy at church got enraged and said, how dare you go against Bush? He said, you traitor. And I said, I'm not a traitor. I'm going into law enforcement. I'm very patriotic. I believe in protecting people and their freedoms, or I would not pick the profession I picked.
Right.
And when I went into law enforcement, I wanted to tell Alex this one thing, though. When they're training us at the academy, it's no longer a right. It's a privilege. We're taught it's a privilege to own a driver's license. It's a privilege to own a gun.
Yeah, and then
it's not a right.
Privileges can be revoked.
Exactly, and that's why I disagreed with them. I brought up posse comitatus in the class, and my instructor didn't even know about it. He's a veteran police officer at the Harris County Sheriff's Department for 26 years. He didn't know about posse comitatus.
Didn't know about the 1878 law prohibiting troops on the streets that they're now getting rid of. All right, John.
I'm sure he didn't.
Thank you for the call. God bless you. Jeremy, I know you're on the road and very busy. Can you stay with us about 10 more minutes to take some more calls?
Sure.
All right, let's get Bill in from Wisconsin. Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, thanks for taking my call. Jeremy, sorry about your dad.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry Bush killed him.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that. You don't have to tell me that. I don't know, Alex, if you're familiar with the Underground Newsletter. It's a little publication I get out of Pennsylvania, but they've had some interesting reprints of what Sherman Skolnick out of Chicago.
I'll tell you what, stay there. Jeremy, stay with us, okay? Do we have Jeremy Glick?
Yeah.
Good, stay right there, sir. And I mean that when I say that about Bush. You know, how dare O'Reilly attack him and say, oh, these people, you're for the people that killed your father. Bush is for the people that killed his father. Bush trained him. Pensacola Naval Air Station in 2001. Bush sent $135 million to him. Bush is the terrorist. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCM Radio Network.
Fascists. We're not fighting fascists. We're not fighting communists. We're not fighting the political spectrum we've been taught so that we cannot think and understand and assess the political terrain. We are fighting organized crime that owns large PR firms run by the military-industrial complex, owned by the private banks that founded this criminal world government that is stripping humanity of its rights, its freedoms, its dignity. Now, we got another guest coming up in about 10 minutes, so I want to ban through these calls real quick, and I'm going to get into a detailed analysis of the new Patriot Act and the terror alerts. They say brace for the attack this weekend or next week. The terrorists themselves that carried out 911 are up there posing as your saviors. Every day I have to look at these serial killers knowing that they're guilty, having to watch them pose as our saviors. I was on a radio talk show this morning in St. Louis, and they said, Alex, we've gotten comments about your film, a few negative comments, that you call Bush a mass murderer. Well, he is a mass murderer. He is an enemy combatant by his own designation. No one has greater ties to Al-Qaeda and Taliban than George Bush and his father. He should be impeached. He should be criminally charged for crimes against America, against the American people. He has overturned our republic, and I will stand firm against that. He is a gun-grabbing, open border, arming North Korea and China traitor. Okay, bottom line. Jeremy Glick, let's take these final calls. You were speaking, Bill, in Wisconsin, about a point you wanted to make about Sherman Skolnick. Go ahead.
Right, Alex. He's brought out in a couple of features here called The Overthrow of the Republic, how one, Bush was involved in homosexual acts as a Skull and Bone member, and that the European...
I had him on about that. We cannot confirm that. We can confirm that Skull and Bones is a bizarre, according to MSNBC, Nazi devil organization. I know they're in Bohemian Grove. That just aired on national television.
Right.
With the Bohemian Grove admitting that it's a real ritual that I shot video of, but saying, so what? But we cannot confirm what Skolnick said. And that was about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, he made that claim and said the evidence was coming out. I need to call him back and see the evidence.
Right. Okay, the other thing that he talked about, and I wonder what your take was, that Admiral Jeremy Borda was involved in a possible arrest of Clinton, and there were some other high-level...
That is true. There were assassinations of a bunch of flag officers in the Navy and in the Army and Marines, and that is clear in a whole other episode. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Any comments on anything we've raised here, sir?
I would just say that, you know, for me personally, you know, the sexual practices of Skull and Bones isn't really the issue. It's what their politics are, you know. And
well,
levels.
They admit they get in coffins naked next to their soul partner. That's admitted. Maybe that's what Skolnick's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, it's the key issue is the kind of business interest and the, you know, then the kind of secrecy surrounding.
Yeah, the Washington Post article last month, or was it actually in December, where they show that about half his cabinet and top officials are Skull and Bones members.
Right.
All right, that is important. That's what we can prove. Let's talk to Steve in Connecticut, and then Mark, Don, and Ron, and that's it. Steve in Connecticut, you're on the air with Jeremy Glick.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
Hey, thank you.
Hey, listen, I want to welcome you to the club, the Bill O'Reilly Club. I saw your, I saw what happened to you the other night and was horrified, and I have complete empathy for you because I was a guest on O'Reilly's show on September 3rd. I was a former homosexual who came out to speak out, and I was slammed by O'Reilly for sharing my thing. I went through probably just exactly what you went through, and now Fox is threatening me personally with a lawsuit for speaking out about O'Reilly and his unbelievable actions and comments toward me. So when I saw you, believe me, my heart was pumping. I knew exactly what you were going through.
Well, why was he getting mad at you? Or what's your name?
Well, this is my name's Stephen Bennett. I write commentary for WorldNet Daily, and I was brought onto his show because I wrote a national commentary about Bill O'Reilly's views on the homosexual issue. And he brought me on there for one thing, and then he just tried to make an idiot out of me on national television. And actually the Associated Press picked up on the story a few days later. And Bill O'Reilly, his way that he treats his guests now is just completely disrespectful. And again, when I saw what happened, I happened to watch Jeremy the other night, and I just felt horrible because you had such a calm attitude towards you were trying to make your point, but obviously what Bill O'Reilly did to you, as he did to me, he brought you there to preach to you.
Right.
And as soon as he went to make any, you went to make any comments, I mean, of course, you know, ripping the mics off, and we just could not believe it. We were shocked, and I told my wife, I said, I cannot believe that this is happening. It's like deja vu. So believe me, I completely empathize with what you went through.
Well, thank you so much.
And you did a, you really did a great job.
No, I tried to keep my cool. And, you know, I mean, O'Reilly bashes homosexuals. He bashes Mexicans. He bashes Asians. I mean, the guy is out of control, I mean, in terms of the hate speech.
Well, now, the hate speech, there you get into that U.N. speech. It's people's right to say what they believe.
Right. No, and I wouldn't escant upon that. But, if you know, he I kind of feel like, I mean, he actively engages in oppressive language.
Well,
I mean,
he certainly tries to polarize and balkanize, but I would guess that if Stephen on the line isn't with WorldNet Daily, that he has a conservative view that obviously made Lord O'Reilly angry. Send me some information on that, Stephen. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Thank you for the support.
All right, three more calls, and that's it, because I got another guest here, and I appreciate Jeremy Glick joining us. Mark in Ohio, you're on the air. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, thank you very much, Alex, for having me on your show. And Jeremy, I listened to that MP3 off Alex Jones' website, and I am totally in empathy with you. The thing you have to understand about O'Reilly, he definitely he's not left wing, he's not right wing, he's just agenda rented from through and through.
It's yeah, that's it. He has an elitist agenda, packaging it as if it's a populist move.
Right.
Exactly. And, sir, I don't know what your political philosophy is, but I used to be pretty much, I consider myself middle of the road to pretty much left-wing myself in my thinking process.
Yeah.
And as time has gone on, you know, as I paid attention to Alex Jones' site and I actually been ordered some of his movies and stuff like that and learned things about myself, it's changed my political views. Now, I'm not saying that you should. I don't even know what your political views are. But if you want to look for real truth, I mean, it's basically the Patriot Movement has definitely got it, you know, what's going
on.
Well,
I think what Mark's trying to say is that the left and right are totally co-opted by the Madison Avenue propaganda machine.
Right.
Is that what you're getting at here, Mark?
That's exactly what I'm getting at. And I don't even consider myself left or right. I mean, call yourself a Republican or a Democrat.
Well, I'm a constitutionalist. I believe
exactly.
in freedom. I believe in dignity and freedom and decency and
That's
family.
That's what I consider myself as, too.
And national sovereignty. Thanks for the call,
Thank
Mark.
You.
Go ahead.
If I could just respond really quick. I mean, basically, I mean, from my perspective, I just think it's really important to have a broad, united front across ideologies to stop the war and to stop further murder and destruction and the encroaching upon other nations' self-determination.
There you go, national sovereignty. And this war, I mean, Iraq is in the Stone Age now compared to other countries. I mean, North Korea is threatening to nuke us every day, but, oh, they're not a problem. Let's go after Saddam because he's got some five-foot rockets that can shoot a couple miles, and then the U.N. sticking their noses in supposed chemical rockets. If they thought those were chemical rockets, believe me, they wouldn't be pulling the caps off, sticking their noses in them.
Right.
I mean, this is ridiculous. This is totally staged.
But I just think it would be – it's great that, you know, I mean, I think we need to have as broad a united front as possible to you know, preempt war and the escalation of aggression.
Yeah, we got Bob Barr and the ACLU together decrying the Patriot Act.
Right.
Don in North Carolina, that's got to happen.
Nice.
Don, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
Jeremy, I'm sorry about your dad. I'll keep you and your family in my prayers.
Hey, I appreciate that from you and from everyone else who let me
right.
know that.
I'm sorry they pulled that CIA off on 3,000 people. It was horrible.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Alex. You know, I've mentioned those insider trades to you before in the past. I just wanted to ask Jeremy, is he aware of a David Bonderman and Richard Bloom?
No.
Would you please, please have your lawyers look at the insider trades? David Bonderman at Continental Airlines. Both of these gentlemen were dumping Continental stock. Well, Bonderman was dumping his stock at Continental. He's on their chair. He's the chairman.
Well, the CIA dumped a bunch of stock and was put optioning it right before, and it leads right back to Bush.
Right. Well, David Bonderman is on the board of directors at Continental, and Richard Bloom, they're both good friends. Richard Bloom is Senator Dianne Feinstein's husband. Okay, now, David Bonderman was making big trades through the month of August, all the way up to the end of August, and if you would just please have your lawyers go look at the insider trades at Continental Airlines by David. His nickname is Bondo Bonderman.
All right. Well, I'm not too familiar with those two individuals. I know who they are, but I know about Buzzy Krongard and the CIA. Thanks for the call. Any comments on what Don was saying about insider trading? You know, we heard, oh, we'll be able to find out who was behind 911 because we have these insider trades. And then, oh, forget about it. It leads back to the airlines and the CIA. Did you hear about that?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not... I mean, I think just as a general rule, I'm not sure about the specifics. You know, I appreciate his perspective, but I think as a general rule, to follow the economic trail often proves, you know, very fruitful results.
Yeah, it's called motive. First thing cops look at. Last call here that we have time for, Ron. Ron, where are you calling from, sir?
I'm calling from New York.
Welcome. You're on the air with our guest, Jeremy Glick.
How do you do? You know, I'd like to say one thing. With reference to what's going on in the nation today, it is no longer so much a matter of what is left, right, liberal, or conservative, just what's fair and what is reasonable. And this is, I think, the point we have to come together on because we're both being encroached upon. Now, about Bill O'Reilly, way back I had suspected him because I subscribed to something that Albert Einstein once said about someone who would lie about small things cannot be trusted in larger matters. O'Reilly always poses himself as coming from a gritty working-class neighborhood in Long Island, New York, which is a community I don't live that far from. And he refers to it as though it's a real, it's almost like a quasi-ghetto he grew up in. Well, he comes from a community called Levittown. The average price of a home there is $500,000.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that area.
The average income is over $100,000. So he was probably an upper-middle-class person, but he certainly never came from this tough, gritty neighborhood. And keep in mind that he obtained his master's degree while walking around in Harvard Yard. Now, we understand about fraternities and so forth that are in place, you know, in that institution. So he poses himself as something
that he's not. Well, he poses himself as anti-establishment, and that's what we're saying. He obviously isn't. Ron, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Any comments to that real quick, Jeremy?
I mean, you know, as I said, we just have to really investigate people's alleged representation and then put that up to the actual reality and not to allow people to necessarily anyone to say that they speak for all people of a certain economic
Yeah, and if you don't agree with me, you're with the terrorist. Jeremy Glick, I appreciate you joining us. And
okay, thank you so much.
You bet. God bless you, sir.
You
Take
too,
care.
Sir. Okay, have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.